You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Sloan, and I know the NBA. Today's guest is not just a sports journalist. She's a trailblazer redefining the game. Her journey from a young, passionate sports lover and athlete just like me to the NBA on TNT, Thursday Night Football, and the Bleacher Report is incredible. Today's guest is Taylor Rooks. So Taylor, I'm 16 years old. I turned 16 in September, and so far I've been loving it. I've been whipping around all the time. Like, driving is my new favorite thing. It's a little scary that, like, I have that responsibility, but I still love it. Did you get your license right when you turned 16, or?
Yes.
Okay, so I did. And first off, you are 16 years young, girl. Now that I am 31,
it is
I'm like,
true.
Why when we were that age, were we even saying we're old? So mm-hmm. much life is ahead of you. But yes, I got my license right when I turned 16. But the first time that I took my test, I failed because I did not know
so
how
did
parallel
I.
park.
I also failed. It's okay.
And for the record, very rarely am I parallel parking. So that being a prerequisite was annoying at the time. But yes, I didn't know how to parallel park. Failed it my first time. And I made my mom take me back like 2 days later. I worked on it. I said, I'm going to perfect this in 2 days. Figured it out. Ended up passing, of course. But yeah, I mean, when you turn 16, being able to drive feels like just this new sense of freedom and just kind of autonomy. And it it feels really, really nice to get that license.
Other than being a new driver at 16, what were you like? Like, what was your vibe? Were you outgoing? Were you shy?
Yeah.
I doubt you were shy.
I definitely wasn't shy.
You were not shy. Yeah. But
I wasn't shy. And I have always loved people, and I've always enjoyed just talking to people. When I was in high school, I actually got voted most likely to be remembered. I really enjoyed just like making people feel good about themselves, and also just like the fellowship that comes with your friends in high school was really important to me. I really do feel like I can meet anyone and be friends with them, and I was that way when I was 16, I'd say. I also wasn't, you know, I wasn't a perfect kid by any means. When I was 15, I went in a garage and got like two tattoos. My mom is still mad at me. I got like a moon and stars on my neck. Such a basic tattoo.
No, that's cute. I like that. Don't worry, parents. I'm not getting any ideas. Just
yeah, this is not me advocating for anyone to go into a garage and get tattoos. Just my bad experience. I got one on my wrist and I got one right here. So it was just like, luckily it was nothing so crazy that I regret it a lot. Mm-hmm. But certainly made some mistakes at that age too.
Something really stood out to me about what you said about how you just love to talk, because I love to talk. And people always ask me, they're like, how'd you get into this? Like, it's sort of, you know, like sometimes I think people who have interests like me maybe would go into like acting or singing or something along the lines of that. And I was like, well, I love to talk and I love to be Sloan. I don't want to be anyone else. I just want to talk as Sloan. And I feel like it's so cool to be able to have role models like you who have that same idea where you just want to share your voice. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And it's really good that I was going to say, it's really good that you know that now and understand that the power in your voice is actually the power of you, because sometimes people do get that confused. And when you look at like any sports personality or really just media personality that you like, the reason you feel that way is because there's something about them that feels relatable to you or feels like you can connect with. There's something about them that makes you feel like you know them. And mm-hmm. I think that the earlier you know that the power is in being Sloan, mm-hmm. The more open your career will yeah. be to you. So you're ahead of the curve just knowing that.
Thank you. Well, speaking yeah. of that, is there any like Get Ready With Me influencers that you like that you watch?
Yeah, okay. So I honestly, I did those for like 6 weeks and I said, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. It was so much like edit.
Every single morning waking up.
It was fun though. It was really fun to like try it and merge sort of, you know, these things like makeup and outfits with something like sports. Like it was nice to do both
of them. I literally had the exact same conversation.
Yeah. But I watched, why is her name? Alex?
Alex Earle, that's my favorite.
I watched how she did some of those and I was like, girl, mm-hmm. you are on it in a way yeah. that I don't have in me. Yeah, but she's amazing.
She's something about her and I don't know what it is and I hope to one day be able to speak in that way and like be that influential. Like anything she says, I don't know why. I'm just like, okay. Like she'll yeah. be like, oh, this mascara. And I'll be like, okay, fine, I'll go buy it. And like, yeah. I don't even know what it is about her that just mm-hmm. makes me like, you know, and she's dating Braxton Berrios. So yes. she's mm-hmm. mixed into the sports war.
Absolutely.
World as well.
Yeah, speaking she's of, great. Yeah.
Speaking mm-hmm. of sports and all that, did you play sports at 16 or you just were more like on the broadcast side?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I ran track. Growing up, I played tennis some, I played soccer some, I did volleyball a little. So I always like played sports and I'm very, I would say naturally athletic,
okay.
but I'm not an athlete. Like even now my
like
workouts,
the athlete mentality.
Yeah. Well, more like I think that doing something like that takes a level of dedication that I have in another arena.
I feel you
know?
You. Yeah.
And it just, one thing I do know about myself is I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm bad at. And mm-hmm. I knew I wasn't going to like be Serena one day. Yeah. And to me, if I want to do something, it's because I want to be Serena. Mm-hmm. Right. And that just wasn't going to be what happened. Mm-hmm. But I did enjoy it. But I mean, even now the workouts that I do, like I box, I play tennis. Like I like those as my workouts. I do Pilates mainly, mm-hmm. but I like the fun of playing games,
yes.
but I didn't want to put my all into mm-hmm. being that.
I hear you. I feel like you always see those videos on TikTok where it's like when Kevin Durant was 8 he used to wake up at 5 a.m. I tried that like once.
Yeah, it's
never
not
again
for me.
Yeah. Never again. Never again.
But I love hearing people talk
Same,
about
it's a,
it. Yeah.
It's great to hear their stories. That will not be me. I will be sleeping.
Yeah,
but I
totally.
Love to hear that.
I'll be cheering you on.
Exactly. So at 16, who was your celebrity crush?
Oh, that is a really, really good question. I mean, I grew up really loving Usher, okay. which I feel like so many people
yes.
did. That's who pops into my head right now. I had like a 50 Cent phase. I don't know.
That's a little questionable, but okay.
Yeah, that is like a very 16-year-old answer me because that, 16 would have been like 2008, 2007-ish, if my math is right.
Year of my birth.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't fully connect.
Totally.
I hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was just a different era. Like we all had on big baggy white tees. And so that was whoever had the biggest white tee was who I liked.
Okay. Interesting. No NBA players at 16?
No NBA players. I remember thinking, well, okay, I will say this. Growing up in Georgia, I was just obsessed with Michael Vick.
Okay.
So I would say, okay, this is the person for mm-hmm. everything. So Michael Vick is probably my answer to any of those questions. So
okay.
on the NFL side, of course.
Love it, yes.
Yeah.
What was your first interaction with a pro athlete?
Yeah.
Or like, when was it? What age were you when
yeah.
you guys have that?
So my uncle played for the Cardinals. My uncle's name is Lou Brock. He was a Hall of Famer for the St. Louis Cardinals. So every now and then, every now and then when we'd go up there, we'd be around, you know, some of his like
yeah.
former teammates and things like that. So I remember meeting them.
Have you met Michael Vick?
I have.
And what was that?
And that was a big moment for me when mm-hmm. I met him because when I met him, he had seen some of the stuff. So he
wow.
had like, he had knew me when I met him. So that was really cool. But
I
think the first time that I met a professional athlete, it was maybe, it's a man named Stephen Atwater. He is also a Hall of Famer. He played for the Broncos, but he's really good friends with my dad. And I remember meeting him. I think that's probably the first one.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about you when you were 16. I feel like we'd
yeah.
be friends. Like I feel like
Oh my gosh, totally, totally.
We're already, like I already,
You
I
feel
love
it.
This vibe.
You
yeah.
feel it.
I love interviewing the NBA players, but like me and you, this is
yeah.
the real talk.
I think we'd be locked in for sure. We would sit and talk
for
and
sure.
not listen
Probably
to anybody
about
else.
Usher and,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. All talks about Usher.
Exactly.
I like.
Mm-hmm. So now let's move on to you now.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, I look up to you so much, and it's
Thank
such a pleasure
you.
To be able to have you here. And like I think, like for me, what's really cool is that because sort of what I'm doing isn't usual for someone at 16, I'm not able to really connect to that many people. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I have stories and thoughts that I try to explain to other people, but it's not fully heard. So it's so cool to be able to talk to someone like you who's really been through something super similar. Yeah. But anyways, what was your welcome to the league moment in your sense of your league, you know?
Like
your, what you cover.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say my welcome to the league moment was All-Star Weekend in 2012. It was in Orlando. And I had been emailing the NBA a bunch of times to get them to just like credential me to go. For whatever reason, they said yes. So my friend and I drove from Champaign, Illinois, all the way down to Orlando to just like, it was long enough that we had to stay the night in Georgia. Like, it was 10 hours from Illinois to Georgia. We stayed at my mom's and then we went from Georgia to Orlando. And I think that was maybe 6 hours or so. So it was broken up. But I went there and it was the first time I had really been a part of a scrum. So it was where, you know, the NBA player was right there and the reporters were just around. Mm-hmm. So I was able to talk to, like, Dwayne Wade was there and KD was there, LeBron was there, Kobe was there. That was the first and only time I got to really interact with Kobe. So it's obviously very special to me for those reasons as well. But it was also the first time that I had been in a real professional media setting. Like, all of the major outlets were in this place. And I realized really how hard it is to ask a good question. I remember thinking that when I would go from scrum to scrum to scrum, I was hearing the same question asked in just different ways. And you were getting the same sort of answers from the people. And so it was that moment that I said, I wanted to challenge myself in the ways that I ask certain questions so that my work isn't the exact same as every other person that was in that scrum. But what I remember most honestly about that moment was how difficult it was to be able to get people to speak to you. And I remember that Kevin Durant gave me time to talk to him when nobody else did. It was the first time I'd met KD, and he saw that I was like this little student trying to get answers. And I asked if I could talk to him, and the people around him were like, no, he has to go. But he said, she can ask me some questions. So that was the first time I met him, and we have been friends ever since. And I always say, you know, when you are coming up in this, you're used to really hearing people say no. So I really latched on to that yes. And so I would say that was sort of the welcome to the league moment for me.
And in that moment when you want to ask a question that he remembers, how do you sort of go at that? Like, what do you think about? What do you want to ask? Because what do you want to know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say in that moment, I still was not asking good questions. So the question that I asked him, I think, you know, it was what I would call like a level one question or a basic question. Because also I was like in this frenzy of like, okay, he said yes. What am I supposed to do? What am I going to ask? But now it's like when I'm approaching the interviews, I really want to figure out ways to use answers that they have given to propel a story forward. And I just didn't have that presence of mind or that kind of thinking when I was that age. Like, you, I mean, I know you're not in college yet, but you are light years ahead of even when I where I was then. Because so much of it, as I'm sure you know now, it's the getting reps of it. Like, you have to keep doing it over and over and over. And at that time, I didn't have the reps. So it's, you have to really practice. But I knew from that moment at All-Star that I had to practice this the same way that athletes practice what they do, for sure.
No, I think, like, practicing a craft like this is difficult because I find myself sometimes so interested in what, you know, the person sitting in the chair that I'm interviewing is saying that I forget, I'm like too busy thinking about what they're saying to then ask a question back, you know, and you get into this moment where you're like, oh God, I'm stuck. Yeah. And I think for me, like, that's a big thing that I want to try to work on, is because I when I think of a question, I hope, and I think it's usually good, but it just takes me a while because I'm so starstruck, I guess. How were you able to deal with those nerves?
Well, I mean, first I would say tip for if you're ever just like listening to somebody, you maybe got lost in the conversation because you were so, you know, intently giving them attention. You can't think. Sometimes just saying, oh, like, why? Or what did you mean by that? It's like a simple thing that you can ask that allows them to expand and also gives you time to figure out how you want to progress the conversation forward. But I think for me, approaching all of the conversations like that person is my friend helps me with any sort of nerve, and also just with making the conversation seem more seamless. It's like, what would be the next question that you asked your friend in that situation? Yeah. And that helps construct the interview well, too. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And what's the most impactful thing that a player has said to you in an interview, or something that really stuck with you?
So it wasn't even that he was intentionally doing this, but I was interviewing Jason Tatum, and we were talking about how he went to, what is it called? He went to Jamal Crawford's Pro-Am, and we're talking about what it was like when LeBron would walk into the building and how everybody would go crazy, and it was such a moment when he walked in. And Jason says, you know, when LeBron walks in, it's a different thing. Like, I think I'm a big deal, but when LeBron comes in, it's different. And Jason so easily just said, I'm a big deal, that I felt so inspired by that.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely.
Which,
like,
he is. I mean, he knows who he is.
And it just really reminded me that, like, when you are good at something, you should not feel like you can't say it out loud.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even trying to, like, say an answer in an interview or give me any sort of advice, but it was the way that he spoke about himself is how I think that we should all speak about ourselves. He didn't even think twice saying that, like, he's a big deal or that he's good at what he does. And I think that women don't always do that.
Yeah.
And so it just really pushed me to say, like, you have to stand in what your talent is and stand in what your capabilities are and say them matter-of-factly because they are a matter-of-fact to you.
And that's really important to me, and so nice to hear from you, because I think that sometimes I find myself saying things where I think if, you know, a man said it, there would be a very different answer from, you know, my following. And I know there was this one example where right when the Dame trade happened, I made a video about how I thought the Bucks were just going to be a horrible defensive team. And which, I don't know, that was my opinion. And, like, I'm obviously entitled to have my opinion. And, like, I got, like, obliterated. Like, people were like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're an idiot. Women should not have any voice in sports and whatever. And, like, obviously that's hurtful. And, like, 2 weeks later, some stat came out about how, like, the Bucks had, like, this, I don't remember the specific stat, but I want to find it. But it was something, or when they got blown out by like 40, like two games in a row. And I made a TikTok where I was like, all I did, I just stood there, duetted the video with the stat line in the back. And I was like, it's fine, but I was right. I just want to say that I was right. And I will be wrong, and I am wrong a lot of the time. But like, I just think it's sometimes frustrating for me, because I'm like, I know if a guy said that, this would be so different. And how do you navigate in a male-dominated field feeling that way sometimes, because we all do.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it is frustrating, because when you think about the sports landscape and you think about the different jobs that exist in sports, and you have these, like, very dynamic personalities like a Stephen A. or a Skip or Shannon, whoever, these men who are sports opinionists, and sometimes they have not created the market for women to even be able to be sports opinionists, because when you give an opinion that feels maybe different than the popular one, or different from maybe what some of the men are saying, instead of them just disagreeing with your opinion, they say your opinion is wrong because you're a woman. And that does not exist for the men in this space. When they have an opinion that somebody disagrees with, it's just an opinion that they disagree with. It is not indicative of you as a woman or women as a whole. But that is what happens in our space with people that look like us. And I think that it's unfair, and it also does a disservice to the many women who have things to say that, you know, that have, you know, very substantive opinion. They're silenced just because of the way they are received. And that makes me sad to think about that you can't be fully what you want to be in media because you know what people will say about it.
I just want to say, I want to thank you, because I feel like you've been an example of someone who men will listen to your opinion, you know, and I've been able to see that. And I know that that's not always, of course, but like I, when I get upset seeing people like you or Malika and that people listen to what they're saying, that makes me feel like confident in the fact that things can change, and that like eventually as I grow older and as I grow smarter, it's not going to be everyone, but people will start to listen to me.
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's knowing that as you grow, there will be people that say, okay, this person is credible. But it's also, I think, really important to know that there will be people that will never say that.
Yeah.
There'll be people that will never believe that what you're saying is right. People that will never believe you are credible. And there are people that will never believe that I am or any of the women are. But what's important is even if that doesn't get better, you get better.
Yeah.
And that's like legitimately the only thing that matters, also because it's the only thing that you can control. Mm-hmm. And so I think just really focusing on the fact that you do the job well and that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You can't control that there are just people that are committed to misunderstanding you, but you can control how great you are at the thing that you do. And also understanding that that opinion is completely separate from that too.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Now let's just switch topics entirely though. Yeah. We got pretty deep, it was cool. But anyways, next up, I want to talk about, like, you know, so much of the time you're in my seat, right? And you're asking these questions, but I want to be able to ask you some questions that you maybe asked to some other people. So,
okay,
I'm sorry to do this to you, but who is the greatest basketball player of all time, Taylor?
Who is my GOAT? Who is my GOAT?
I think that's important. My GOAT.
Yeah.
You're saying the GOAT. Yes. Who is your GOAT?
Who is my GOAT? Well, I think that we tie our greatest to very, like, personal feelings. So I have to say LeBron, because I have grown up in the time of watching LeBron, and I know what watching LeBron's greatness feels like to me.
Yeah.
That is not me saying that maybe MJ is the GOAT, but for me, personally, I did not grow up in that time.
Yeah.
Right? And so I have to say LeBron.
I feel that too. Like, that's who we know is our GOAT, and that's the beauty about being, like, the greatest at something, is that, like, different people are gonna, like, look at that differently.
Yeah, because I see LeBron, I'm like, oh yeah, we're never going to see something like this again.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like he has that thing you were talking about that Jason was saying, like, he has a presence about him where, like, he's, like, the closest thing to God. Like, I swear. Like, I just think that you hear his name and your mindset changes just from what he's been able to build, which is so cool.
Yeah, it's inspiring sometimes just watching LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And then obviously we talk about people like LeBron and MJ all the time, but is there an NBA player that's more underrated that you admire either, like, the worth ethic of or the play style of that you want to highlight?
Yeah. I mean, he's maybe not underrated this season. He's in the MVP conversations, but Tyrese Halliburton has always been such a high-level basketball player. But, you know, the joke I always say is that, you know, he was playing in Sacramento, and it was just like a league pass team. You would turn it on sometimes. You knew he was good, but you were like, I don't know if I care that he's good. But now that you're really paying attention, and, of course, the in-season tournament helped catapult him as well.
Yeah.
But he's always been this kind of player, and he's also just a great human being. He is somebody who really is, you know, a giver and a communicator, and he likes people. There's no ego to Tyrese.
Yeah.
And all jokes aside, I think that is also why you see him as such like a game manager and a distributor. He wants his teammates to shine. So it's important to him to, like, give that assist, because that's sort of who he is at his core generally.
Yeah. And it shows also how important the environment can be for someone, because it's like he had that talent in Sacramento. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But leaving Sacramento and finding his place with the Pacers allowed him to show that. And then it's crazy that then the trade also worked for the Kings. Like, that's something that I think is so cool. The way that the Kings aren't, like, grieving the loss of him. Like, they won in their own right. But, that's cool.
Yeah, it worked out for both parties for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you play fantasy football or basketball?
Oh, yeah. I have four fantasy football teams this year. I'm in the playoffs in two of them. But I'm in the leagues that I'm in playoffs in, I'm number one in both. So, it's my bye week this week.
Okay.
When you're in those leagues, when you're one and two, you get a bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just got named to Complex Magazine's Top 25 Voices in Sports. How does that feel? And what would you tell your 16-year-old self that you just got that award?
It was really cool. I mean, I think that any time, you know, somebody wants to put a spotlight on you or just, you know, appreciate the work that you do always feels really nice and makes you feel super seen and super heard. But really what those lists like that always make me feel is just proud to be amongst the other names on it. You know, it's like, okay, these are people that I have admired their work or, you know, looked up to, supported, watched their content. And just being in that conversation is really great and really nice. I've tried my best to deprogram this idea that we should care about lists or awards and things like that are really, like, arbitrary things. But it is nice to be recognized. And I think that if I would tell, you know, my 16-year-old self that this was happening, she would just be really proud. Because, like, this is something that I have genuinely wanted to do and have worked on for most of my life.
Yeah.
And I think everything that we do at this point, it's like little us is rooting us on somewhere in there. And One thing I'd say is I've always had a belief that I could do this. I don't mean this in a cocky way, but like, I am not like surprised that my life became what I wanted it to be because every decision that I made was for it to be exactly what it is. I'm more so just happy and feel lucky and appreciative and grateful and thankful that it worked out. But I am not surprised by it.
Yeah.
The same way that I think an athlete is not surprised that they made it to the league. That was the plan all along.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing now was the plan all along.
It's my plan too. So hopefully it all works out. Actually, I know it's all going to work out.
It will. Absolutely. It totally will.
So I saw the other day you made your, correct me if I'm wrong, but like your sideline debut in an NBA game.
Yeah. So I did sideline for the the USC women's basketball.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of that, what are your favorite types of sports broadcasting? There's hosting, sidelines, podcasts. Yeah. Where do you really find that you like flourish?
Oh, yeah, my favorite thing, not even close, is interviewing. I love interviewing. Like, if I could just interview, I would. Yeah. I would say interviewing, one, hosting, two,
okay,
reporting, three.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah, reporting three.
I want to know, because I also obviously love to interview, but sometimes I find that when I'm interviewing, I'm almost losing myself a little bit because, like, obviously the main focus of the interview is the person that I'm interviewing, but I also want to show, like, what I can bring and, like, my knowledge.
Yeah.
And how would you suggest that I sort of go towards that?
I mean, I would say that your knowledge still shows even just in the questions that you ask.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it means, okay, you've researched, but also you know what you're talking about enough to make them answer something based on what you said. So so that certainly shows.
Thank
but
you.
I'd also say the more and more you continue to make it like a, like an interview is almost like a tennis match. Like I say something, hit the ball back to me, you know? And so you can show like the knowledge of the game, the things that you want to say based on how you are responding back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, we are taught that we are always wanting to ask a question so that person can answer a question. But sometimes just the exchange of thought gives you exactly what you want.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to be, what exactly is this question? It's like, I want us to have a conversation about this thing that is in front of us.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, you can show what you know and what you're capable of doing in that conversation.
I like that tennis metaphor because sometimes someone will say something and I'll say something back and be like, oh, I ate with that.
Yeah.
That was, I slammed
totally.
That.
Yeah. And so that's so that. And that's how it should feel. And I mean, of course, the focus is always the person you're interviewing. You don't necessarily want to be the story, but you make the interview better and you amplify the interview when you are able to have your own style of interview. And that comes from what you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Taylor, we're going to have some fun. So
okay, let's
I
do it.
Like to ask my players or my guests some trivia questions.
Okay.
And people have been doing pretty good so far. There's a lot of competitive nature. I know DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul got in a little texting brawl, you know, about who's the best at Sloan Knows Trivia. So you can join that group chat.
Okay.
But I don't have like a straight up like scoring situation yet. Like I still need to like think about it. So
you just need
I'll
like a leaderboard.
You know. Yeah. And like I am very generous with half credit and like I will help out with that. So like let me just let you know that like it's gonna be like that, but we'll see how you perform and then I'll let you, like, you know when the teacher feels bad for you.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
Sometimes I'm like that because like earlier Taylor and I were talking about how horribly my Spanish final went. Miss Ornetta, if you're watching this, like that's I need that feel bad grade. So that's I could give
me
that.
A
we'll
bump.
See. We'll see. Exactly. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Ready.
What is Ja Morant's career high?
Oh, that is a good one that I feel like I should maybe know. He had, is it in the 50s?
It is.
Yeah. I remember he had a 50 ball. Is it like 56?
A little lower. I'll give you one more try.
52?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I knew it was 50.
Yeah, half credit. There we go. Second try.
Yeah,
second
52.
All right. Next up, Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
How many triple-doubles has Mikal Bridges had in his career?
Oh, yikes. I definitely don't know this one. But I would assume it isn't very many. It's probably like, wait, his career, NBA career, college?
NBA career.
Is it less than 10?
It's less than
10. Yeah, it's definitely less than 10. I'm going to say it would have likely happened. I'm going to say like 4.
No hates Mikal, but it's 0.
So, I'm like he likely hasn't had very many.
No.
Because he definitely wouldn't have had any in Phoenix.
No.
And he's likely not.
Okay, but like in this situation in Brooklyn, like, he can get there. Like, he'll have that.
That's what I'm saying. It will come.
Mikhail, if you're watching this, me and Taylor are slightly embarrassed.
I gave you some love, some form.
She hyped you up. I'm a little embarrassed for you, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm like,
you
I know it's not very many.
Okay, next up. So, De'Aaron Fox. This is, we'll start off easy. But De'Aaron Fox, what was he drafted?
Oh, my gosh. He was, I'm trying to think of that draft. It would be in the top 13.
Yes,
because he's a lottery pick.
14, but yeah.
14.
I got you, Taylor. 14. Don't worry.
He was, oh my gosh, I know Chris Paul and DeAndre are doing way better than I did.
Shockingly, I don't think they got any right. So at really? Least for the 52 one, you were like,
and I'm like,
enough.
For all of these, I'm like, I know the ballpark.
Well, okay, well, for the two of them, I asked trivia about themselves.
Was
and
De'Aaron,
they still weren't able to get it.
Was he six?
So he was fifth. Which is
five.
Which is
I'm always
close,
like one off. He was five. Okay.
Can you name the four players that went before him?
Definitely not.
I think you can.
You think?
I think you can. Well, okay, so do you want me to give you some hints?
Maybe, yeah. Give me the
so
give
the
me hints
one
in the year.
Pick, in the nicest way possible, was a bust.
Okay. What year?
2017.
Okay, 2017. You're saying in the first week was a bust.
Then someone you've spoken about previously in this interview was also in that. There's a famous brother, and then there's just, you're just not going to.
There's a famous brother.
There's a famous
brother. No, I want to get one of them. You said his famous brother.
So here are my hints for you. One was a bust.
Okay.
One was a famous brother.
Okay.
Or is a famous brother, if that makes sense. Is part of a famous family.
Oh, okay. So one of them is Lonzo.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Then one was a bust, and then you spoke about one of them in this interview.
Well, one is Jason.
Yeah, okay. There
yeah,
we,
one
there
is Jason.
And then the two others were Markel Fultz and Josh Jackson. So I feel like those are...
I wouldn't have got Markel and Josh. Yeah. Okay. And what... So it was...
Markel, Lonzo, Jason, Josh Jackson.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And then De'Aaron was...
Fifth.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, I'm going to give you a little bit of an easier one.
Okay.
Jason Tatum, how many times has he been an All-Star?
Ooh.
By the way, like, if I were Jason watching this, I would not be taking this. You did not know when he was drafted, and now, like, you need to think about this.
Yeah, he's like, it's so funny, because so I've covered Jason since he was 15.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, so I'm like, 2017. I'm old now, though, my memory leaves. Jason's been an All-Star. He was one. Not yet, you four. Three.
Four.
Four. I'm one off.
You're so close. You're so close. You're actually closer than anyone else ever.
I'll take it. Put me on the leaderboard.
Like, I'll ask questions. They'll be like, what was your high school GPA? They'll be like, 4.0. It's like, it was a 2.0. Like, do not give yourself that credit. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so four.
Four. Yeah, yes. Okay, close. It's close enough. Like, I wouldn't
Sorry,
him,
Jason.
I wouldn't be
you
that.
Earned that other one, too.
Exactly. Jason, come on here and let's do some trivia about Taylor. Yeah. Let's see how he does for that. This is our last question.
Yeah.
James Harden, 2018 MVP year, how many points did he average? Though I understand why you wouldn't know this off the bat, it's like a guess that would make sense for an MVP.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
So what? He was averaging like 29 points per game.
God, you love that 1 point off. You love that 1 point
off. Is it 30?
I know. It's 30. It's okay. Okay, so I'm just going to grade
I knew that one too.
So I asked you, wait, let's see. I asked you 5 questions. Uh-huh. And basically you got, okay, it's like 2.5.
Yeah, because I got like halves.
Which is like
one.
Probably like an F, like low key, yes. But like it's fine. It's fine. It's an A in my heart.
Who did better, Spanish final or me?
Oh, I don't know. That's rough. At the end of my Spanish final, it's Scantron. I was just writing B for everyone.
Oh my gosh, Scantron, that takes me back.
At least you
back.
Actually thought of an answer. Yeah. Like, I was just like, sepon. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
but I was
that
just
is
saying.
So funny.
Well, anyways, thank you so much for being
Oh my
here.
Gosh,
this
of
so
course.
Fun.
This was delightful. You are amazing. And thank you so much for your time
and for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well. Thanks for listening. You can get links to my socials and see behind-the-scenes fun from Taylor and I in the show notes, or just search at Sloan Knows on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Remember, that's Sloan with an E.
From Jam Street Media.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.